The top stories from the KCBS Radio Newsroom. This is the All Local.
Today, the world will consume more than 2 billion cups of coffee. But the benefits from your morning brew go past the quick pick-me-up. We're learning more about how drinking coffee can help your brain, your gut, even your heart. Joining us live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline this morning is Dr. Marilyn Cornelis, Associate Professor of Nutrition at the Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine. If you have questions about the health benefits of coffee, you can email your questions to askus@kcbsradio.com. We'll try to get on as many of your questions as we can. askus@kcbsradio.com. Dr. Marilyn Cornelis, welcome to KCBS. Good to have you on today.
Thank you.
Now, this sounds like amazing news for morning radio people on National Radio Day. Our morning cup of joe is actually good for us?
Yeah, the evidence definitely is pointing in that direction. I think that's a marked change from many years ago where it was typically referred to as kind of a bad habit, but there's really great evidence suggesting that there's more benefits than what we expected.
Yeah, can you tell us about how this research is conducted? Do they need volunteers? I'm raising my hand. I mean, what factors into this latest research on coffee?
Well, there's basically two main types of research that we've been doing that really hones in on the benefits of coffee or the potential adverse effects, which are few. There are these what we call large population-based studies where we ask people what they consume, and then we follow them for years and years to see how their health is over time. And there's also the randomized control trials. Obviously, these randomized control trials have their limits because they're usually short duration. So much of the evidence showing that coffee might be beneficial for example, type 2 diabetes or Parkinson's disease or even heart disease, that's really based on the population-based studies. Now, originally, the way we've traditionally done population-based studies, we didn't have what we call our classic confounders. So risk factors that correlate with coffee consumption that might be masking the real effects that coffee has on health. But with greater or more precise research methods and just better quality data, we've been able to address that. So key risk factors that are often confounding coffee and health have typically been, for example, smoking. Smoking is highly correlated with coffee. And so that's like 20 years ago, we could have shown that coffee was a risk factor for a number of diseases, but it also correlated with smoking. And so now we can adjust for that, and we see that really coffee is beneficial.
That is a fascinating connection between coffee consumption and smoking. Not surprisingly, we are getting some great questions in already from our KCBS listeners, Dr. Cornelis. Listener Leo asks, what about decaf? Any difference in outcomes between decaf and caffeinated coffee?
Well, I'll take one example of type 2 diabetes. So these large studies have shown that both regular coffee and decaf have been shown to reduce risk of type 2 diabetes. And that would suggest that it's not specifically the caffeine component of coffee. It's probably other things. So coffee is a really rich source of polyphenols. And one particular polyphenol that is unique to coffee is chlorogenic acid. And that might actually be beneficial on glucose control. And so for at least for type 2 diabetes, it's either regular or decaf. So that's a kind of a benefit. So if he prefers decaf, then definitely drink away.
Interesting. Leo, thank you for that question. KCBS listener Robert says, some people are very particular about black coffee. I mean, I'll admit, I'll raise my hand. I'm a black coffee drinker. Is there any research into the benefits, Leo asks, of skipping milk and sweetener?
Yes, actually, it's probably more beneficial to be a black coffee consumer, because especially now with how people can come up with very creative ways of spicing up your coffee, adding a lot more milk than what we expect and a lot more sugar, it's not even a coffee anymore. So I think black coffee consumers definitely would appreciate that. They're like, what are you adding? You're just masking the real taste of coffee. So I would highly recommend the black coffee. If you can't handle black coffee, maybe just a little bit of a milk and just a little bit of sugar, but it really, what we're seeing is it's definitely the black coffee, the traditional way we've consumed it.
Dr. Cornelis, I wish you could see the high fives in our newsroom when you said black coffee, because we have a lot of black coffee drinkers here on the morning shift. Robert, thank you for that question. If you can explain in layman's terms, what are the immediate effects of coffee and caffeine on metabolism or energy levels? Does it really give us the boost that legend says it does?
Yeah, it does. But those are things that we refer to as the acute effects. So after consuming it, we absorb it very quickly within maybe 20 minutes in our system. And we know the actions of caffeine because it's one of the most widely well-known studied drugs in the world, really. It is a drug. You can actually synthesize it in the lab. But we do know that it targets particular adenosine receptors in the brain, which mediate the psychostimulant effects of caffeine. So we know a lot about how it works and contributes to that rise. So we definitely know there's an acute effect, and it does facilitate productivity in the office. It's pretty well known. The other thing is that if you consume it, a lot of it over time, if you suddenly cut back, you do experience withdrawal symptoms, and that's just tells you that you are kind of reliant on caffeine, and so you kind of feel sluggish. And then, of course, when you consume more caffeine again, you get that kick again. But I guess what people generally learn how to kind of titrate their levels in order to get that fix, and when they need it, and when they should be shutting it down.
Does it suppress hunger? Does caffeine suppress hunger?
It does, actually, and our population studies have shown that it actually helps with weight management. We've followed one study that looked at women over 20, 25 years. They've shown that, like, over time, typically women, as they age, they gain weight, and so that's kind of a natural process of aging. But they've shown that these women who consume coffee, the increase in weight actually is not as much as someone who doesn't drink coffee. And so there is some potential weight management control.
All right. KCBS listener Virginia asks, coffee can make my heart race and feel like it's jumping out of my chest. Is there a downside to coffee drinking?
Yep, there are some. And what she's describing is probably an acute effect of coffee, which does is mediated by caffeine, and there are some people who are sensitive to it. In a recent statement by the American Heart Association, they talked about the benefits of coffee and cardiovascular disease, but one particular adverse effect is premature ventricular contractions, and so that might be similar to what she's describing. But sometimes people might feel like their heart skips a beat. And those are the kind of potential acute effects of caffeine. And obviously you can avoid that by just not consuming as much coffee and just being aware of how much of caffeine you consume. Obviously there are going to be exceptions, and that's basically with any habit that we have, any foods. There's going to be some people that are sensitive. So she's one particular person that's quite sensitive, and I'm glad she kind of connects it to caffeine consumption so that she can modify her behavior accordingly.
All right, Virginia, thank you for that question. KCBS listener David asks, is there an upper limit where we get diminishing returns? I guess, basically, can you drink too much coffee where it starts to do more harm than good?
Well, in 2015, the Dietary Guidelines for Americans said that up to around 5 cups of coffee per day is relatively safe, if not beneficial. That's not a recommendation that you should be consuming 5 cups per day, because clearly there are some people who just don't. But it is suggesting that if you're already consuming 5 cups per day, there's no need to cut back. We really haven't been able to tap into the heavy, heavy consumers. My guess is that after maybe 6 or 7 cups, I think you just have a lot of water in your belly. I don't know if you consume any more. I think that's probably the limiting factor.
Okay, I love coffee, but I can't imagine having quite that much. I know some folks do. David, thank you for that question. KCBS listener Sharon asks, interesting, is there an acid-free coffee, or is that an essential part of the drink chemically?
Well, I think a lot of people do have preferences on what they consume, and it might be just comes down to the brew. That's something that I'm not too familiar with, so I can't really speak on that. But there are a lot of, like, your typical roasters, they're kind of looking for that ideal coffee brew. So it really comes down to, I think, how you prepare your coffee. I'm sorry, I can't speak to that specifically.
You know, we've been talking about the acute effects. What about the longer-term effects that you're seeing in your research? Are coffee drinkers doing their brains and hearts a favor long-term by drinking coffee?
Well, I've recently, in the past 10 years, I've kind of switched my caffeine research to more dementia and brain and aging. And it's not as clear because it's very difficult to study dementia. You really don't know the precise diagnosis until you're dead and we look at your brain. But generally, it doesn't suggest that caffeine is adverse or adverse for dementia, but generally suggests that it could be beneficial. But more specifically for Parkinson's disease, it's been consistently shown that coffee and caffeine in particular also reduces risk of Parkinson's disease. So that's where kind of a neurological effects come into play.
Interesting.
I already mentioned heart disease, but generally beneficial and for stroke, and also for diabetes and even weight management. So those are generally the benefits. Again, most of this research has been based on adults, and so I just want to set that as a caveat for some of the research. We don't know the long-term consequences of caffeine on the developing brain, so your children. I think nowadays people, like kids, are starting to consume caffeine just because they've been targeted in a different way than coffee, primarily energy drinks. That's something we don't know a lot about. So again, for your listeners, it's really about what we're talking about here is coffee.
Mm-hmm. We have a couple of minutes left. I want to get in as many questions as we can, but I do want to follow up on the dementia angle. Is there any indication in research that drinking coffee when you get older can help ward off dementia?
There's no cure for dementia. We have some drugs that can treat some of the symptoms, so it can't really say that definitely coffee doesn't ward off dementia. But so in my research, and although it's inconsistent, there's some data suggesting that it could be beneficial. So it could reduce that. Obviously, over time, our cognitive function typically decreases, but there's some data suggesting that coffee might reduce that decline.
Interesting question from KCBS listener Jay, who wonders, does coffee consumption cause calcium loss, a risk of bone conditions like osteoporosis?
That's been kind of a myth, and everyone's thought about caffeine being, because it's kind of like it dehydrates you. There's really no strong evidence suggesting that it does impact your calcium. You'd have to consume a lot of caffeine and coffee. So at the amounts that we typically consume, it shouldn't be adverse for your bones.
That is interesting. Doctor, I wonder, are you a coffee drinker?
I began drinking coffee when I moved to Chicago. I never drank before. It was funny because I live with my father is a Belgian, and he was drinking two pots a day. I didn't realize that was a lot until some of my friends said, Marilyn, your dad drinks a lot of coffee. But I've had one every once in a while. But I definitely have to have a little bit of a sweetener in it because I can't handle the black. As much as my research tells me that it's a lot better for you, it's just so bitter for me.
Well, I feel a lot better about myself after talking with you, Dr. Cornelis. I'll tell you that. Dr. Marilyn Cornelis, Associate Professor of Nutrition at the Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine. Yeah, you need the coffee on the cold mornings there in Evanston and Chicago. Thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate you joining us on Ask an Expert.
Subscribe to the All Local wherever you get your podcasts and stream us on your smart speaker 24/7 by saying, play KCBS Radio.